Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host of Darren Donick and Chase coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll talk all things Preds here. But I do have a question for you, Darren, before we get started on the Preds. I know Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, and a former friend of the show was at your house yesterday watching the Titans game. Is Chase the one you have to kick out at the end of the night? Like, does he just linger too long? Like, did Marquise linger? Like, how did that all happen, and do you have to kick somebody out at the end of the night?
Well, Chase is the obvious answer for many reasons, as you guys know. The main reason is he's on vacation, so he's got no schedule. So he's got an open book, open schedule, nothing in pencil, nothing in pen. And so, you know, quite honestly, I feel like if I would have said, bring your pajamas, he would have brought his pajamas, but he didn't. So that's the obvious answer.
So eventually he did leave your house yesterday.
He did, yeah. He did not stay the night.
did not ask for a pillow.
You guys could have had a slight sleepover party. Would have been nice. All right, so obviously a huge win, 2 points for the Preds over the weekend on Saturday night. They get off to a hot start, something they have not done in what feels like all season. They get 2 goals in the first period. They hold on for a 4-2 win. All that's great. But Victor Arvidsson is now out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, we'll get to the hit. I know we'll talk about that in a second, but just – in general, what is it that you now need to see from this team to replace Victor Arvidsson?
I would say a goal in the first 20 seconds of every game would be nice. I mean, that would be probably a good start. That seemed to work out well. By the way, that was the first time a Predator had a goal in the first 20 seconds since 2015, 2016 when Ryan Ellis did it. But, I mean, it was the starts, right? I mean, just to put things in perspective, one, you can't replace Victor Arvidsson, but two, guys, that game right there was the ninth game of the month. So that means the previous 8 games going into that game in St. Louis on Saturday night, the Predators had 2 goals in the first period, 1-2 in 8 games. They had 3 on Saturday, and they got out to the lead. This team is very comfortable in a lead. This team knows what to do when they have a lead. Just look at the numbers. When they're in control, when they're in the lead, they know how to finish the job. And, you know, there's no secret. I get it. Everybody wants to score in the first. Everybody wants to get out to a lead. But, you know, that is the case with the Predators. I mean, they don't play in behind so much. And how much it takes to play catch-up for an entire game is just not a good recipe for the Predators. It's not a good recipe for most teams. But we saw with the quick start, and yeah, they're not going to have 3 goals every first period, but when you can get on the road, take the crowd out of it, good things happen, and that's certainly how it played out on Saturday. We'll see if they can duplicate that again tonight at home against that same very team.
Now, the engine, I believe, of this team is gone for at least 4 to 7 weeks, and Victor Arvidsson, I'm not so much upset about the first hit. Darren, I don't think many people are. I think it was, is it a penalty? You know, warranted for a penalty? Absolutely, but you see that all the time in hockey. It was the second one when Victor's already down, and I kind of equate it to the Marquise Pouncey. It's not the hit that I was upset with, the punch while he was standing up. It was when he went to the ground and you kicked him and then punched him. That goes from being one thing to something totally not football. I thought the first hit on Victor was okay. I can get it. But then the second one went from things that happen in hockey to that shit have no place in hockey. And now he's gone for 4 to 7 weeks. What do you think of it?
Dude, preach. I just listen. I'm sitting back, listen. Preach. I want to hear you. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I look, Peter Laviolette said it after the game. And I mean, how many times do coaches really – take the bait, and it's not like Peter Laviolette took the bait. He just flat out decided at the end of the post-game presser that he was just going to air his feelings when asked, and he did. And he basically was like, I'm not going to go there, but yes, I thought it was dirty. So I went there. And Austin Watson said after the game, yeah, I don't want to go there, but yeah, I'm going to go there. It was dirty. I mean, the players knew, the coach knew, and what's worse about it, Derek, is you probably, you know, I know you did. You played against guys or played with guys that always, that knew where the line was, but still, for whatever reason, chose to go over it from time to time or a lot. And sometimes they got caught, sometimes they didn't. Bortuzzo is a repeat offender. Okay, this is not the first time he's ever done this. He has a history of doing this, which is why he got four games. Yesterday, I thought, honestly, he was going to get 5 to 6. I thought that was the number that he was going to get. He got four. Okay. I would have rather seen him get a little bit steeper because he's a repeat offender. I mean, can we all harken back to the second round of the playoffs when the Predators were making their magical run to the Stanley Cup Final? Remember that second round matchup against the Blues?
Mm-hmm.
I was in St. Louis. I was in the Scott Trade Center when that awful, awful play happened in the first period when Kevin Fiala broke his leg. You know who that was that drove him into the boards and then cracked him in the back after the play? That would be Bortuzzo. He's a guy that last year in preseason against the Islanders and Nelson cracked him in the back twice when he was down on the ice, got suspended 2 games. He has a history of this. He did it with Malkin. I mean, go look. This guy, this is what he does. He's a dirty player. There's no place for this in the game. Like you said, the first cross-check is okay. It happens all the time. The second one is just flat-out dirty because he does it when you're down and out and you're laying flat on the ice and he gives you that second jam to the back. And you know what? And it's now cost a premier player for the Predators 4 to 6 weeks, and it's only cost him 4 games. I hate to say it, but I guess if you're the Blues, you'll take that because this is a team that you're going to be battling for the division. There's no place for it in the league. I was hoping they would send a little bit stronger message. I guess at least they sent a message. But this guy has a history of doing this, and there's no place for it.
Darren, I don't think it sends a message at all, actually. I mean, I get your point. You know, 4 games, that's not going to change his behavior. He is what he is. And 10 or 12 or 15 games might get him to rethink how he behaves and how he acts and whether or not he wants to be a dirty player or not. But I don't think it sends nearly big enough enough message, especially considering, I know it's hindsight, but they have the ability in the player safety department to use hindsight. And the player was injured on a dirty hit that was completely unnecessary. It had nothing to do with the play. I think you could have sent a much stronger message, and I think even St. Louis fans would have been fine with it. The follow-up I have to you, Darren, is what do you expect to see from the emotional side of things tonight? Because it's not like Jordan Binghamton wasn't taking a few cracks, too. I mean, there's no love lost here. They're playing again for the second time in 3 days. You just lost one of the best players on your team. What do we expect to see from an emotion standpoint? How do both sides handle it tonight?
Well, I expect it to be, Braden, exactly the way it was on Saturday. By the way, Saturday was a very, very chippy game. It was played like a rivalry game, which it should be. These are two teams in the same division that have had recent success in the last 2, 3, 4 seasons. They've been battling each other for divisions to get in the playoffs, and two franchises with close proximity, two fan bases that are willing to travel to each other's place to root for their team in the other place's barn. I expect it to be chippy again. I don't anticipate any less chippiness. I guess the question is can they make sure to keep it under control? Because once again, Derek, you've played with players that, you know, they don't know how to keep the rein it in, and you don't want to lose control. You want to play with an edge. You want to send a message. You want to let them know that Saturday night's in your thoughts. But you also don't want it to cost you a game. And so, Braden, I think that's what they have to be careful. It's the delicate balance of responding, letting St. Louis know, like, that's unacceptable, but also not costing your team. Because let's be honest, they still need to win the game. I mean, you want to ultimately send the message, how about take 2 games from St. Louis, you know, in 3 days? How about that? That's sending a message to the Blues, who came into the game blazing hot, the best team in the Western Conference. So I anticipate it's going to be a whole lot of Saturday night. It's going to be very, very chippy tonight in Bridgestone Arena between these two teams.
Darren McFarland coming up at 10. Darren, Donick, and Chase, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland there. I think I'm okay if they go a little over the line tonight. Not just because the play was dirty. I think there's a broader conversation about the Preds. That is, the teams are going to look to get under your skin and be physical with you because they view you as a finesse team. And until you show them that you're not, I think that this is an opportunity for the Preds to show the rest of the league that you can't just push us around anymore. Like, we're going to be a physical team from here on out. And there's a chance they can do some of that tonight. Hopefully it's not dirty. I don't want to see dirty. But if you take a few extra penalties and you send a message, I don't mind. I don't mind tonight. All right. Well, Titans-Jags. Titans win 42-20 yesterday over the Jags. All
right
with
that?
You like
that?
But two guys in particular dominated. We'll discuss when we return.
Hold on.
Morning Drive.
Which was completely wrong. Was I playing the air guitar and there wasn't a guitar in that? There a guitar?
That was Jack White probably playing the guitar.
Okay.
Although his latest album has a lot more electronica on it than I anticipated.
I was just making sure
analog,
I wasn't incorporating the air guitar, and there wasn't a guitar in it.
I think you're good. I think you're good. Derek Mason on the air guitar, Marquise on the ones and twos. I guess I'm the lead vocalist at this point.
There you go.
I don't know. Nobody wants that. Titans win yesterday 42-20 over the Jags, and Ryan Tannehill was exceptional. Did an excellent job in critical situations, very efficient, only needed to throw the ball 18 times yesterday, 259 yards, two touchdowns, ran the ball well. More importantly, Derrick Henry, 19 carries, 159 yards, two touchdowns. And the big story for me was how efficient the offense was and how efficient the defense was. Mm-hmm. 9.1 yards per play on offense, 4.7 yards per play for the Jags. I mean, that literally means every time you're both snapping the ball, one team's gaining twice as many yards. And that means the game plan was sound. That means they saw what everyone else saw, which is a Jacksonville defense that was about ready to quit. And the Jags have now given up 700 yards rushing in the last three games. Titans went for 219 yesterday. Derrick Henry and the game plan was sound. They stuck with it, and it got them a big W. Four touchdowns in six plays in the third quarter.
Yeah, they had over 500 yards in total offense. Yesterday, running and passing the football, they were efficient from the standpoint, and you broke it down as far as, you know, the yards per play, and you're absolutely right. And efficient, you can get to efficiency several different ways, or balanced several different ways. I say they were efficient and they were balanced in what they were doing, not based upon, you know, they threw the ball 20 times and ran it 20 times. The balance was the numbers. How many yards they had rushing and how many yards they had passing. That was sort of the balance to me, because sometimes, you know, you're not able to throw the ball as many times as you want to or run it as many times as you want to. But if the numbers work out as close to the same, then the balance is there. If the number per attempt is close, because I think Derrick Henry averaged over 8 yards per carry. Tannehill averaged 14 yards
per attempt.
So they were averaging close to a first down, whether it be run or pass the football. That is balanced to me. And they made, as they have done in recent games, they made the Jacksonville Jaguars quit. There were several instances where you could have pointed that out. But I think one of the ones that kind of showed up to me was the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. It wasn't the run that made them that I saw that made them quit. It was A.J. Boye. It's a clear 12-yard speed in, great play action. But when A.J. Brown catches the ball, Boye basically stops running. He basically stopped running. He's looking at everybody else to make the play. Had he continued to run, maybe he would have tackled A.J. Brown. Maybe he would have touched him. He tapped out and said, you know what? Somebody else take it. And Corey Davis got an excellent block down the field. And nobody touched A.J. Brown. That, to me, showed a team that quit. If I'm a coach and if I'm Jacksonville, if I'm Doug Marone, I am rewinding that play all day today to my team, because that basically was a microcosm of how they played yesterday. You quit A.J. Boye. Yep. You did not finish the play. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, because of what the Titans had done to them and what they did yesterday, they quit.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you watched a season end yesterday, I think, for the Jacksonville Jaguars in – in a span of about five
minutes.
Thanks
to the Tennessee Titans.
Thanks to the Titans, four touchdowns and six plays. And a big part of that, and I think the game was over, and there's going to be a lot of little plays that go unnoticed because of Derrick mm-hmm. Henry's big run and Tannehill playing well. And, you know, Harold Landry had a sack in the beginning of that game that ended a Jacksonville drive. It's his eighth sack of the season. He now has four straight games with a sack. He's probably going to get to double digits. He's clearly developed into the player they wanted him to be when they got him in the second round 2 years ago. And then the Darren Bates special teams forced fumble where he just came in, put a helmet on the football, created a fumble following Derrick Henry's 74-yard touchdown run, and then Derrick Henry immediately runs back into the end zone. And I'm going, that play might have been the play that ended the Jacksonville Jaguars season. That one play by Darren Bates on special teams is going to get lost in the shuffle as well, because that is what turned it into a snowball. That's what turned that third quarter into a 28-point quarter, and that was one of the biggest plays of the entire game. So, you know, special teams guys who make mm-hmm. big tackles, you don't get a lot of credit for that normally. Darren Bates made a huge play yesterday when he created that fumble and forced that fumble. So give credit where credit is due. And then the offense finished it off in the red zone.
Yeah, they did. And what I want to – because we had been meaning to get to this early because, you know, they have, you know, five or six games left in the season. But in this season, I think for two guys in particular, it means a lot because it's going to really – give us a true picture of what this team will look like next year. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, are they playing themselves into a monster contract? Because even watching the television version yesterday, and I'm listening to the announcers, and you know, they talked to the coaches prior to the game and they talked to people, and they had alluded to, you know what, we're talking about all these quarterbacks and drafting all these quarterbacks, but they believe there are some within the building that think that Ryan Tannehill, because of his youth, he's not even 30.
No, he's going to be 32 in the summer.
32 in the summer. He's still young enough where you can have him for at least 6 years.
I don't think
and so. And if he stays healthy, there are some that possibly believe that the Titans are not in that much of a dire need for a quarterback. The quarterback that they want maybe – in the building, maybe the guy that's starting for him right now. I'm just saying.
This is your tease for tomorrow's show.
We can talk about that. But I'm just saying the contract.
I have since he took over, the offense has been different. You can't argue that. Like it's looked different. He's far more confident. And the same reason I think Marcus will go on to be better somewhere else is probably the same reason Ryan is better here than he was in Miami.
Exactly.
Miami did nothing to help him. In fact, they did everything to hurt his body in theory because they didn't give him the surgery. And then he came back and tore his knee up in practice. You know, same thing with Marcus. You could argue the Titans broke Marcus as much as Marcus broke Marcus. Mm-hmm. And so I think a change of scenery is good for both of them, and it's clearly helped Tannehill. The question is as a starter, he has won games. He's 5-1. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is just he happens to fit with this coordinator and Arthur Smith and this coach and this team and this running game, and maybe he just fits well in this system, and that's just the reason that he's been different than he's been for the first 8 years of his career. Mm-hmm. But he is more injured than Marcus Mariota in his career. He has not been as good as Marcus Mariota in any category moving forward. So I don't think I'm going to automatically switch my opinion on Ryan Tannehill and say I think he's the answer long term. But since the offense has clearly been different, and to suggest that he couldn't be a short-term answer, mm-hmm. 2 years, 3 years, while you go searching for somebody else, I think he is by far the best option for that, unless mm-hmm. he is asking for a massive if he wants a Nick Foles contract, $88 million over 4 years, that looks like a smart investment. Mm-hmm. If you want that deal, I don't think I give him that deal. If he wants 2 years, $40 million, $20 million for the next 2 years, he clearly looks like he's capable. Now, I also want to see what happens over the next five games. Mm-hmm. We can celebrate the fact that he's gone 4-1 as a starter because just winning is all that matters. And he's won, and he's been efficient doing it, and the offense looks different. And that's all true. But can he do it on the road against the Colts? Can he do it against the Raiders? Can he do it twice against the Texans, the Saints? This is a really brutal stretch of games with the playoffs hanging in the balance. Let's see what it looks like before we go giving him $50 million or cutting him, right? Mm-hmm. Let's not make any rash decisions one way or the other. So far, it's been great. You can't argue with the production. I just want to know what it looks like after these next five games.
I tend to believe that I think, and it may be after the next game, because the Titans, I believe, when you're looking at the Titans, the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans, and I said this last week, I think they're all, if you put it all out on the board, they kind of all even out the same until you get to a playmaker on offense on the outside and then the quarterback. And right now, I'm going to say it and I'm going to continue to say it, that he, if I'm ranking quarterbacks, he's the third best quarterback, meaning Tannehill. He's the third best quarterback in this division, behind Watson and then Brissett and then him. But I do believe.
By the way, neither one of those two teams has a Derrick Henry.
Neither one of those. Marlon Mack is pretty good. Now.
This team doesn't. Yeah. This team does not have T.Y. Hilton or Nuke Hopkins, obviously. Yeah. But those teams don't have Derrick Henry.
But I think what keeps Indianapolis in it, they have someone closer to Derrick Henry than
great offensive
the
line,
Titan too. Has closer to T.Y. and Nuke.
All right, let me ask you this: A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, would you take that, or would you take T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack?
Oh, man.
You just said all day today that Derrick Henry is the best runner in the
NFL. But T.Y. is like, he's by far better than Brown.
Pick one.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, okay, I'm going to pick the Titans because of Derrick Henry. I love Derrick Henry.
And A.J. Brown's only a rookie.
I love Derrick Henry. But T.Y. Brown is nowhere near
T.Y. No, of course not. Of course not.
But I think Derrick Henry. Is Marlon Mack is really good.
Can you imagine Derrick Henry behind that offensive line, though, the Colts offensive line?
He'd be a stud.
I mean, he's already a stud.
He had 1,300 yards already right now. 1,400 yards.
Dude, he's only
right
10 yards away from 1,000.
Yeah.
He's got five games to go.
He would have, I believe he would have 12,000 yards by now.
12,000?
Behind 1,200.
Holy cow, yeah.
That's a lot of yards.
That's a record.
1,200 yards by far. If he's behind,
he's averaging 1,100 yards a game.
He would have 1,200 yards by now if he was behind that offensive line.
Yeah, he's.
But
I mean, he if he's on this pace, he could get to 1,400 yards. Yeah, he's got five more games,
and I think he will get to the 1,300 yards. 14, I think, will be.
It's possible.
It'll be a stretch, but he can do it if he continues to run the way he has been running. But nothing really separates those teams. Except those two positions.
Yeah, and the quarterback.
And they can play well. The Titans can play well. But if they have a mistake, that's what's going to separate these three teams. They can all play well, but it's going to be the mistake.
They fumbled
it's
the ball.
It's going to be one or two. Yeah, Derrick Henry fumbled. Yeah.
And Ryan Tannehill fumbled. They fumbled the ball too much yesterday.
Yeah, so they had two fumbles, one a backside. I mean,
that was Dennis Kenneth, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly coming in first. Yeah, and he just got beat. And then Derrick Henry fumbling the ball. Yep. Which I know he's kicking himself in his rear end with that one. But they can't have those mistakes against Houston and Indianapolis.
It takes a great athlete to kick your own behind.
Yeah,
very
it does.
Very difficult to
it
do. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here, and Marquise Munson. We go around the NFL when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big finish coming up in just a few minutes here on Morning Drive. But it's 9:30 on a Monday, which means it's time to go around the NFL, Marquise Munson.
Now, before I start, there's some news revolving around the Colts tight end Eric Ebron, who is headed to injury reserve, and he's going to be fixing his ankles. 31 catches, 375 yards, and three touchdowns through the season for Eric Ebron. Kind of another now. T.Y. Hilton, I know he's been battling injuries this season as well. So this Colts team is
Marlon
pretty
Mack.
Marlon Mack. This Colt Brissett missed a game as well. So this Colts team is pretty banged up. So perfect opportunity for the Titans, right?
It's the Colts. So, like, no
hope.
Chance.
They still played Houston tough with all of these hurt people.
And their history against the Colts does not bode well. But listen, if Ryan Tannehill is the second coming of little baby Jesus Christ in football form, then he's going to go beat the Colts on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, if this miracle story of Ryan Tannehill taking over and leading the Titans to the promised land, well, of course he's going to go on the road and beat the Colts then.
Absolutely.
Of course. Nobody else on the planet could do it, but Ryan Tannehill can. In fact, WWRTD. What would Ryan Tannehill do?
But they'll throw it out of it. Wentz, pressure, gets rid of it. And it's intercepted. McDougal was right there. He was trying to get it to the tight end, Goddard, and Wentz underthrew him.
It's like they're playing two deep back there, two safeties.
Here's Wentz firing far side. It's intercepted. Trey Flowers went right to him.
Man, poor Carson Wentz, man. He's struggling this season. He had five turnovers yesterday, three fumbles, two interceptions. This is now, mind you, they let Nick Foles walk. Obviously, he got a big contract with the Jags, and we saw him yesterday.
He's terrible.
He was awful.
I'm sorry,
but
guys.
It's not looking like Carson Wentz is the guy that everybody expected him to be when he had that MVP season before he got hurt. And now all of a sudden, he seems like he's kind of making a downward spiral.
Well, I mean, he didn't have some of his weapons yesterday. Guys were injured. But the passes that he made, some were just inexcusable. There was a pass out the backfield where the guy, they were Seattle's. They were at Seattle's, like, I don't know, 15. And it was a guy wide open in the flat. And he threw it over his head by like 10 yards.
Well, and let's be clear, Seattle's pretty good.
Yeah, Seattle's pretty good, but that would have been either a first down or a walk-in, you know, and he overthrew him by, you know, 4 or 5 yards. Carson Wentz, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I don't know if he's, unless he's dealing with injuries we don't know about.
And he's the highest paid quarterback in the league, right?
Yeah, he's not as good as what his contract says he should be. So.
Yep. Hard to argue.
Hats off to Stephon Gilmore and this Patriots defense. Up high into the air, and clock shows 1 second left.
Yeah, that 1 second left for the Cowboys, but it wasn't enough to get by the Patriots. 9-13. Now, the Cowboys.
He gone.
6-5.
He gone.
And look, I understand. Look, and they still have an opportunity to win the division. I mean, you end the game with the Eagles. Obviously, the Eagles lost six games this season. And then you end it with the Redskins. So those are two games. But your next games is against the Bills, the Bears on the road, and the Rams. So
Jason Garrett is done. He probably should have been fired 5 years ago. But Jerry Jones, the only owner that gives a long press conference after every game, clearly fed up with why they're in this situation at all. They have the Dallas Cowboys and the Tennessee Titans have the same record.
Yeah, that's what's shocking.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden now
Jason Garrett's gone. I'm telling you. It's done.
But, okay, I think that's the
Lincoln Riley, come on down, baby.
That's the big story. You know, there was a tripping call in there that shouldn't have been a tripping call that was called.
It was a horrible call.
What do you guys think about the, like, why is he kicking a field goal with 6 minutes to go down by seven either? Like on the 11-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, that was
a Vrabel-ish decision.
Yeah, but, you know, the biggest story is, I mean, this offense of New England, Tom Brady, and I'm not saying it's the end of Tom Brady
or everything else. The arm is starting to slow down.
And I know it was bad weather yesterday. But still, he hasn't been Tom Brady-ish.
He's only got like 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, the last, you know, five games. In the first half of their season, they played some horrible teams.
Yeah, they beat up
horrible defenses, except Buffalo, and he played bad in that game. But they're winning in spite of.
No, defense is great.
Yeah, in spite of. It's kind of like the Peyton Manning thing when Denver's defense was so good, they were winning in spite of.
Give me the Saints. That's what I like, man. I'm hopefully you're not going to go one more game here, Marquise, and talk about my boys last night. But,
please do it.
Because I
Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if you're about to ask that question or not.
Through the middle, Mostert into the end zone. Raheem Mostert. Score, and they go 69 yards in 6.5 clock-eating minutes.
Yeah, nice. Aaron Rodgers, 104 yards passing.
Wow, was that in the first quarter?
No, on like
105?
On like 33 attempts, it's his lowest yards per attempt in his career.
Hold on, was that in the first quarter, he had 105 yards?
Stop it, Derek. It's not nice.
No. But look at
Aaron Rodgers.
You know what it is, though? Like, I'm watching the game, and like I wasn't even upset. Because I'm going, this is how good the Niners are. Their defensive line is so good. When Jimmy G's healthy and has both Kittle and now Debo Samuel on the outside with Sanders and all those running backs, the offensive line, Kyle Shanahan doesn't care. He'll take your soul. They're good.
Is it safe to say, if we're talking Super Bowl favorites at this moment. Is it safe to say that? I mean, look at them on offense. Their defense is really good. Is it safe to say that the 49ers are leading the pack?
I think they, because they got to play Seattle again, or did they? No, they played and they split with Seattle.
And Seattle beat them. I mean, I like the Saints. I'll stick with the Saints because in when push comes to shove, we still don't know what Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G look like in the playoffs. Yeah, we still don't know.
That was
going
to be my next play. I mean, the Saints in the last three games, you lose that game to the Falcons. Obviously, you get that win against the Bucs, but I mean, it's Jameis Winston and the turnover machine.
Gave up 31 yesterday to the Panthers.
Yeah, and then
Panthers.
All of a sudden, you needed a field goal to beat the Panthers. So I'm looking at it as, I think they're still going to be a favorite in the playoffs, but.
One team I think
the
you
NFC
need,
is
yeah,
so good.
One thing, if I had to pick one or the other, I'm taking Seattle because I think they are proven in the playoffs. Their quarterback is proven. Their head coach is proven. But the team you need to watch out for is the Minnesota Vikings. And they
Kirk
are
Cousins
just slowly just kind of winning games, mm-hmm. building game after game. Now, they only have one of their two receivers. Thielen, he might still be out. But once this team gets healthy, if they get healthy right down, you know, going into the playoffs, man, they're going to be a scary team.
Let me ask you
the other
one's
the Rams, too, by the way. Yeah. If they win
tonight.
Do you
trust in the playoffs more Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson right now?
Oh, boy. Well, I trust Greg Roman.
They wouldn't play until the Super Bowl.
I mean in the playoffs in general.
I trust Greg Roman.
I might trust Lamar Jackson in that offense better. I don't know about Kirk Cousins. I don't know if I trust him. You know, the Rams are one to keep an eye on. If they beat the Ravens tonight, which is a tall order, but if they beat the Ravens tonight, they'll be 7-4. The NFC has far more top-level teams. When you're looking at second-place Minnesota, second-place Seattle, they've got second-place teams that are really good playoff teams in the NFC. In the AFC, you go Buffalo is the highest-rated wild card at 8-3, but Buffalo doesn't particularly scare you. Not like Seattle scares
defensively,
you know?
Possibly, yeah.
Sure, but like Russell, I'll take Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? Like I'll just
yeah. There's quarterbacks in the playoffs that you would trust more than Josh Allen. In
but
the
if you like the way old school football still is played and won in the playoffs at the NFL, you like teams with great defensive lines that like to run the football and have a good quarterback, that's the 49ers.
Yeah.
The 49ers have all that. The Packers are a little bit more of that this year, but they got abused last night. Seattle's doesn't have the same supporting cast around Russell Wilson, but he's great. The quarterback is the only question I have for Minnesota. Nobody from the East is worthy right now. The Rams are interesting. They've been there and done that. They got to the Super Bowl last year, but they're you know, they've got a huge game tonight with Baltimore.
And what's crazy is we're not throwing Jimmy G in the MVP conversations.
Yeah, I don't think he deserved to be in an MVP conversation.
You think it's more defensive?
I think it's just a team effort. Yeah, I think it's a team effort. They run the football well. The defense plays extremely well. I don't think it's, you know, they're just playing as a team. I don't think Jimmy G is. Yeah, I don't think he's taking his team and just all of a sudden put him on his back.
He's averaging. So he's 12th in yardage in the NFL. He's got 20 touchdowns, 10 picks, so nothing spectacular. His quarterback rating's over 100, 69% completion percentage there. He's been very, very efficient, 8.1 yards per attempt. So he's got a lot of the numbers. He just hasn't been exceptional.
Exactly.
And I think he's a little underrated. I know people were, hesitant to buy into him because they just thought, okay, we haven't seen a lot. It's hard to put together a win-loss record that he's put up in his first 25 starts or whatever it is. Okay. Like what is he like 21-3 or something as a starter or something
he
crazy
lost
like that?
Many games, I know that.
Like
so.
dude wins almost every time he's out there. So and he's accurate with the football. Mm-hmm. He can sling it. So all right, there's Around the NFL brought to you by Marquise Munson. Hot Pocket himself.
Sponsored. It's not sponsored by Hot Pockets. Yeah,
sponsored by Munson.
Well, here's the problem. We're going to lose Munson if it's sponsored by Hot Pockets. That's all he's going to eat every day, and then we're going to lose him.
Well,
to a heart attack.
Thank you for adding death to my
I don't want to lose you, man. Future. I want you to be on the team.
I haven't ate a Hot Pocket since we had that conversation.
You slowed down on a Hot Pocket.
Really? I didn't slow down. I cut off on them completely.
That a boy. I'm proud of you.
Talking about Munson.
Look at me.
I like it.
Yeah.
Very proud
Switching
of you.
Over to,
Marquise
to,
Munson.
To bagels.
Got
pizza
away from
bagels.
You can eat pizza anytime? That's not any better for you.
Yeah, if you're eating frozen, yeah, that's not even. You might as well eat the Hot
Nothing
Pockets.
Nothing processed or frozen is going to be good for you.
Just eat the
Nothing.
Hot Pockets if that's the case.
Just stay away from the fried chicken biscuits, my man.
That's
I know that was hard.
That's,
I know
that's a tough one to kick, man.
All right, we'll go. We'll do what? We've got the big finish, right? Daily Rewind, what's on tap, all that good stuff coming up because the Preds have a big game tonight. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.